This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence, a podcast talking all things alcohol-free. You're listening to me, Sharon Hartley. I am 46 years old from Lancashire in the northwest of England. Mum to two teenagers, one's 19, one's 16, and an in-between ager who's just turned 12. My beautiful co-host, who'll be joining us very, very shortly, is Freddie. Freddie will fill us in about who he is and what he does in just a bit. We've got a guest far more interested than Freddie today. He won't mind me saying that. I'd love to introduce the brilliant Sally Wilkinson. Hello, Sally.
Hello. Just ahead, I don't want Freddie coming on and interrupting me, you know. He'll just have to stay silent.
So, Sally, just introduce yourself to us and to the listener. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about what you do.
Well, I feel I should follow your lead that, well, I'm Sally Wilkinson. I'm 50 years old with three children and, yeah, I've been married for 27 years to Simon. So, and, yeah, I run an online, a retreat business, health and fitness retreat business, and I also have an online community as well. And obviously because of the recent events, I've done the last two virtually, which has been brilliant. So I just love inspiring people to motivate themselves to make their own change and, yeah, helping women over 40 really who feel crap about themselves to make them realise that I never ever want them leaving this earth without realising just how amazing they can feel.
Amazing.
And then it's just incredible. Once they realise, it's just unreal what can happen. So,
Sally, hold that thought, which is, it's really interesting. That's where you are today and I love that. Take us back about 1,000 days. Is it now over 1,000 days?
No, I thought you were going to say 1,000 years then. I thought, steady on, love. I'll just check my app.
Go on.
It will tell me how many days have gone. Because when you do say a day, people go, do you still count? And I said, no, do I? But it's doing the count back. 1,226 days.
Okay, so that is 1,226 days since you last had a drink. Take us back, Sally, to a time before then, and just explain what you were like as a drinker.
I never used to drink massively, and then it just sort of started to creep up. I just used to drink water at home, and then just drink when I went out, and then that sort of started to change a bit. But when it started to get bad was when we were going through huge financial issues just after the recession hit, and then it just continued. We had a property portfolio that we're building up for a pension fund, and we ended up losing it all after the recession, and it was just awful. Bailiffs at the house, we nearly lost the house, just everything, and I just started drinking more. I was always a social drinker, but nothing majorly, you know, that used to make me question myself. But little things start to happen when you realise that it's becoming a bit of an issue. And there's no right or wrong, you know, I'm not judging anybody, even myself, you know, it's just, it is what it is. With all the stress that was going on, I just used to drink to mask it really, because then I didn't have to face it. And every night, 5, 6 o'clock, I'd start on the Prosecco. I mean, I always did like to drink. I played rugby for 16 years and I could down a pint, probably one of the best in the team when I got man of the match. And it was a great thing, 6.5 seconds.
Brilliant.
That sort of drinking, you know, when you're out and just that sort of goes with sport. But and I didn't mind that. The way my drinking turned was definitely as a self-medication, and I was just getting concerned. And if in the daytime I'd be feeling really stressed, even if I gave myself permission at 11 or 12 o'clock to, oh, I'll have a drink tonight, I'd automatically be lifted. My stress had disappear a little bit because I knew I was going to rely on the crutch of alcohol. And, you know, I wouldn't get hammered every night, don't get me wrong. I was drinking probably 5 nights a week, sometimes 6, very rarely 7, because I'd use Monday as that. But it was an effort not to drink on a Monday. It wasn't obviously it was a choice, but it was a hard choice. And then on Tuesday, I'd hear myself saying things like, I'll have a drink tonight. I've not had a drink since the weekend. And it was only Tuesday.
Sally, it's like listening to myself. I did the same as you. Honestly, I would drink every day with the occasional Monday off and think, doing really well here, haven't drunk last night. And then, like you say, the same old cycle starts again on that Tuesday, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And I think with everything that was going on around us, it was just awful. And then we, unfortunately, I was declared bankrupt 3 years ago. And just the shame of it, the feeling of failure, that things just hadn't gone how we hoped they were, and we'd worked really hard. And I did, I just started drinking, but I was still running my health and fitness. I taught spinning, I still ran my health retreats. I became really depressed. I really suffered badly with depression, then it grew into depression, and I drank more. And not once did I think to stop drinking when I was depressed.
I was just going to ask you that question, Sally. Did you never make the link between alcohol and depression, and then, of course, affecting your whole mental health?
This might be very controversial, but to this day, I'm still really grateful for the alcohol around that time, because I really do feel, and I still feel, because I didn't know any different, that it helped me, because I didn't know any different. Because I was, before, just so you know what sort of drinker I was, I wouldn't drive anywhere. It was always Simon. And if he wanted to drink, we'd get a taxi. There was never this, you know how couples do, take it to turns.
No, I don't actually. Never knew.
And I do have a couple of friends who don't drink much. And, you know, I was never one of those friends. I was the first to arrive and the last to leave, talking to anybody at the end, even if, you know, I've not struck a chord at the beginning. Anybody will do at the end of a party, or shatter. And it was that sort of relationship I was getting with alcohol. So I wasn't just a sort of bare minimum. And no, but when my depression hit, I took myself to bed really for about 6 months. Well, obviously not all the time, because I still got up, taught my classes. I actually did take 3-4 months off my spinning classes because it became so difficult to go in and just paint my smile on. But yeah, my 3-day retreats really helped, because I've been starting to become honest about it. And that's when I started to, I think, recover from a depression, is when I came out on my Facebook page that I had depression and nobody had a clue. And it was just awful. And I was drinking most nights to alleviate it, really, because it does alleviate it temporarily. And obviously it doesn't, but I just felt like it did, and that was good enough for me. You know, you'll do anything not to feel quite as bad. And I think the last straw came when my daughter used to come into the room in the morning. She was probably 12 at the time, and asked me to put her hair up. And I was in bed, and I'd swing out of bed and put her hair up. And then she'd go off to school and get the bus at 7:30. I'd just go back to sleep. And it sounds ridiculous. Everything we'd been through with the bailiffs, the bankruptcy, the losing of the properties, the shame of all that. What was the final straw that I needed to take action and not on drinking this time? Was I got up one day about 1:30. I went downstairs and Nancy made some crumbs with a toast in the morning, must have done. And I got the cloth off the sink and it was all soggy, you know, to wipe it. You know, and you picked up this soggy cloth and I just couldn't face it. And I just chucked it back down, went back to bed with 1/2 loaf of toast. And I just thought, if I can't cope with a soggy cloth, and then all I did was drink that day, I'd get up and drink every evening. And I'd end up, some days drinking were brilliant, you know, because what I perceived to be brilliant, I'd go out, I'd see my friends, I'd chat on the phone, you know, you phone somebody up and you just chat. And then other days, it's a party for one on the sofa, you know, till 1 a.m, because you didn't want the next day to come. And I never really used to get hangovers. And I remember seeing that line, don't ever leave this earth without ever experiencing just how amazing you can feel. And so to get me out of my depression, I went to the doctors and I knew they just want to put me on antidepressants. And he was asking, I'll never forget this. It was lovely. He said, well, how many are you drinking? I said, probably a couple a night. He went, well, that's not too bad. I said, bottles? He went, oh my goodness. You know, he says, that has to stop now. But you know as well as I do, Sharon, that I went out and just drank again that night. Yeah. And it was only to get me out of depression, I signed up to an Ironman. Never done a triathlon before, not even a short one. And 4 months later, I crossed Bolton Ironman finishing line, officially last, 17 hours, 12 minutes. But my goal was to get me out of bed. And I thought, this is the first time I thought, right, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to not drink through training. And I managed it. I didn't drink for the 3 days before the race.
Oh, my word.
That's all. All on my other train when I was doing 100 miles on the bike, I'd come home, have a Magnum and have a drink because, oh, haven't I done well? So I can't believe I did it, even through drinking through it all. And I still didn't consider to stop drinking. And there was just little things. I used to work on a fitness retreat abroad in Turkey before I started my own. I remember going to the airport, and you know the duty free, and you get to the airport lounge, and I get anxious because I'm going on my own without family, going to work for 2 weeks, which I loved. And so I'd have a few wines, and I couldn't stand the thought of getting on the plane. What if there's not a trolley service? What if there's no drink on the plane? So, and I'm just admitting this, I'm just being honest. And so I went to duty free and got a bottle of wine, and then I went to Boots and got a meal deal, and it had to be apple ties. I don't even like apple ties, but it had to be a green bottle that you couldn't see through. Went to the loo and I sat on the loo and decanted. I took the poured the apple ties down the loo and I filled it up with wine. And as I was doing it, I just thought, this, what are you doing? This just is not acceptable anymore. Yeah. And it, I started to get a lot. So it wasn't just one day, oh, I'm sick of myself, want to stop drinking. It was probably went on for 18 months. Little nuances like that. Little nuances of going up to the spa shop on a Thursday night and getting a bottle of Prosecco and thinking, oh, one, what if one's not enough? I best get two. You know, I best get two. And I always used to open the second one more often than not. And the first time you open a bottle of Prosecco at 6 o'clock, it's all happy clappy and that glug glug, and you're just feeling dead sort of fake happy. But then when you go and open the second one, your whole body language is different, and you hated yourself. You hated yourself thinking, why are you doing? Not even seeing anybody. You're just going to go in and watch reruns of, and little things like at Chris, you know, when Strictly Come Dancing's on, I'd start watching it again on Sunday because I couldn't remember that I'd watched it the night before. So I thought, right, I'll watch it. And I thought, I think I might have seen this. Couldn't remember it. I had to watch it again. When you go out for a meal in a restaurant, the anxiety you feel when the waitress gives you your menus and then walks off without taking your drinks order.
Oh, don't. It was the worst.
And then you're looking around the restaurant as you're only halfway through your glass of wine, panicking, thinking, can I get her ice? Simon, order me another drink. This went on for about 18 months, all these little things, and it was just getting really bad with the depression. And I thought, I've just had enough, and the panic of what I was doing to my body, because I, you know, I was 46, and, you know, starting the perimenopause, probably feeling emotional. I just thought, I don't want this. I just don't want to be this knobhead anymore. And yeah. I don't mean that in a nice way, because I'm affectionately known as the Northern Knobhead.
Makes two of us.
I was more of being a tosser, I think, and I just thought, I just can't stand it anymore. I don't like this. And I wanted to know what it felt like not to drink, because it had been that long.
Well, it's nice to see that Freddie's joined us. Where have you been, Freddie?
Here I am, Shazam. Well, you know what? Good things come to those who wait. And because I knew I had two very glamorous ladies in yourself and Sally on the podcast today, I've just been in the shower, spraying the Old Spice and doing my hair. And now I'm finally with you.
Well, it was worth the wait, Sal, wasn't it? I mean, just look at him.
Well, I'm impressed. So you're looking very, very clean and shiny.
Well, I try to be. Slippery when wet is a warning that sometimes I have.
Listen, I'm going to take charge of this. I'm going to move swiftly on because it's going down a very different path. So you've just been talking to us there about your past drinking, the Sally Wilkinson in the drinking days. I want to bring it forward to the last time you were sloshed on your sofa. This isn't a secret. I've seen that pity party for one, because you shared it on your social media, and it was because of that, stumbling across you, literally, that's what inspired me to take up my alcohol-free journey. Just take us to that night on the sofa, talking to a camera on your own when the whole of the family was in bed, sloshed with that glass of wine in your hand. What changed for you that night?
Well, I had, like I said, about 18 months leading up to that of thinking I wanted to do something. And we'd been out on Boxing Night, because that was the 23rd of January 2017. And Boxing Night, we're in London. My son was working in a pub with his girlfriend's family. And they joined 1 year no beer. And they said, oh, Sally, come and join us. You'll like it. It's, you know, 30-day challenge. Not a chance. And there me with my big fat glass of wine. Mm-hmm. No intention of doing it. And then, as God's felt horrendous the day after, you know, didn't know you couldn't have alcohol on the tube in London. I just walked on bold as brass with my wine. How you do, being from up north. And I just thought, it just got into my head, and it tied in with how I'd been feeling for the last 18 months. So I checked it out, and I thought, oh, and I like other people say, well, I can't start yet because it's Joe's 18th on the, you know, on the 17th of January. So I want to get hammered on that because all his mates are coming round. So do you know what? I think I might start. And this is why I didn't blip, because all my work, it's a bit like having a child. All the work that I'd done, the Braxton Hicks, the contractions that you don't know you're having, I'd done all that in the 18 months. You know, I'd considered it. So I just made a decision to do 30 days, to be fair, not 1,300, you know, two and a half, 1,300. And I just thought, right, I'm going to start this night. And I remember this is going to be the last time I have a drink. And I've pushed another 2 days out of it because I felt I wasn't quite ready. I thought, come on, because it's a big thing. It really is. And I remember sat out, I just knew it was going to be the last time for 30 days and I was going to use this 1 year no beer sort of thing and this social group. And I sat, and you know sometimes when you drink the wine and it really, you can feel the acidicness of it and it gets you right here sometimes, and it wasn't even red. And I remember thinking, right, I'm going to record it. And I've got quite a decent following on Facebook. I engage with them a lot. And I thought, should I post it? And I watched this video and it made me cry. I was so, because the sadness behind my eyes, the sheer patheticness of it, the hopelessness of it. I still watch it now and it really moves me. And I just look awful. And I know the pain that I'd been feeling. And I thought, sod it, I'm going to post it. And it is the best thing I ever did because it kept me accountable. But so many people said, oh my God, they felt the same and, you know, good on you. And I did 30 days and then I went to 90 because I made a decision at 20 odd days to do the 90. And once you make the decision, that's all it takes. It truly is that straightforward. You just need to make the decision. And so that was it. I was off. And then obviously got to day 90 and it was Willow, won't I? And it was our silver wedding. And the one great piece of advice I would give, and this is what really does my head in, I have to really, when you're on the social groups, I have to step away from the keyboard sometimes because obviously I always like to be positive. But when people say they can't afford the membership, when it's like £5 a month, I thought, well, what were you spending? Were you nicking all your alcohol before? You know, because you were buying it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but one thing I did, I saved the money. I saved £50 a week and I'm still saving £50 a week. And you know what? That's conservative and that's shameful to admit. But it paid for our silver wedding anniversary trip to Italy. We've had furniture. I've had some decorating. We've had all sorts with this alcohol-free money that would have just gone down my neck. And that's been a real, real incentive. But when I was in Italy on our little silver wedding, it was literally day 90 and we're on a balcony in Lake Como. We got to the hotel, there was some free champagne in the room, and I just thought, because I just didn't know what I was doing, I didn't think I was going to go for 365, and it was then I thought, we could have it tomorrow, and I just didn't want it. I did, but I didn't want it enough. Does that make sense? I wanted it, but I thought, but I don't. So I was really pissed off that I didn't want it. I thought I'd be like back on it straight away. And so we decided that we did a video again, and me and Simon, I just said, sod it, I've not learnt enough about myself and the process. I want to give myself that gift of time. And this is what I say to everybody, whether they're trying to give up sugar, trying to not take the phone to bed, not trying to do alcohol. How the hell do you know what it's going to feel like unless you give yourself that gift of time of trying it? And so I thought, right, that's it. I did a year and I just knew I wouldn't drink. I knew I wouldn't drink in that 12-month period. And you get so much more learning in that year rather than just the 30 days isn't enough to really experience what it feels like. And you learn more on your down days, let me tell you, than you do your up ones.
I don't know where to start. That's such an amazing story. I mean, firstly, I totally know what you mean with the whole like giving birth and contractions thing, because like that sounds like it must hurt a little bit. And but no, I think there's a phrase that I use. I thought I'd come in there first with the Freddie phrase, and it's my mess is my message. And I think that's so powerful what you said about sharing that video, because that must be hard to watch. And I know we've all been there where there's videos of us, or, you know, photos of us looking a little bit worse for wear, shall we say. And it's always our natural reaction to try and hide them away and be thinking, oh, I don't want people to see me in that state. But I think by actually embracing it and say, yep, this was me, this was the state I was in, look at my eyes and all of that, it's such a powerful message to not only remind yourself, but to show other people that you can be there and just so sick of it, but you could also make these amazing changes that you have done.
I think in retrospect, it was more powerful than me being pissed up at a party, going, whoa, you know, it was that, because I didn't particularly look drunk, but you could tell there was just so much sadness there and I'd just had enough.
I've seen it. You just look really, really sad and miserable. And your face was so red and your eyes were just droopy. And look at you now, the brightness in your face just speaks volumes.
I mean, it is madness, really. And I sometimes want my money back from 1 year no beer, because I never signed up for 1,226 days alcohol-free. I just wanted to do 30 and then go back to my normal fake happiness that I'd created. Because it is, a lot of it is fake happiness, you know. And when people say, and you get this sort of, oh, I wish I had your motivation, I wish I had your willpower. Like, literally, I was born with two arms and two legs and people think I had an elephant trunk's worth of willpower stuck out my head. You know, we've all got it. People, you just need to find it. Everybody's got it. Everybody's got the gift of being able to do whatever they want. They truly have. You've just got to be inspired. And I believe you can change anything, really.
Sal, can I just pick up on something you said earlier about doing it full on? When you decide to go alcohol free, if you really, really do want to do it alcohol free, you've got to remove those thoughts, haven't you, of I'll just treat myself to a glass of Prosecco, I've got to 90 days, I might have a drink. You've got to, I love the term, don't do anything half-assed, and you've just got to chuck yourself in, commit, make that decision and go for it.
Yeah, it's like all the pussyfooting around about the blips and the moderation and stuff. When I committed to myself to do the year, I'll talk about the year's challenge around the 30 days, I was going to do a year's challenge. So if I'd chosen to have a drink, I've failed my challenge. Simple as that. No question, no grey area. I've failed my challenge. Have I cut down on my alcohol? That's a massive success. If I'd only drunk, like Ben was saying, if I'd only drunk 20 days out of the year, that's a huge success, because instead of drinking 300 and, you know, 20 days, I've only drunk 20. So of course it's a success, but that's not the challenge I set myself. I set a challenge to not drink. It's a non-drinking challenge. And when I had that accidental gin and tonic 8 months in Turkey with my mum, because they gave me a gin and tonic instead of a tonic water, we'd been going to this bar every night, we were in a rush, and I downed it, drank nearly over half of it. I went, oh, it's alcohol in it. Literally, I thought I'd been held at gunpoint. I had an absolute episode. I cried. Mum's going, Sally, calm down. You don't understand, Mum. I wanted to do a year. 1 year no beer, not a year, 1 year no beer, apart from that gin and tonic I had in Turkey. And I was so emotional. I ran out of the bar. I was crying. I thought, but do you know what? All it did was serve to how important it was to me. Because some people said, oh, but didn't you do well not to carry on drinking? I said, I didn't want it. And that's where the learning is. It's all these little things that happen. And on that very same night, and then I got over myself, went for a meal, and this is the sort of things I think about. So how you've said there, Shazza, that you've got to not, you know, get those thoughts out of your head. I didn't have to do that because they weren't in my head anyway. So I didn't have to think, oh, you know, I do now more than I did in the year. I look for things that make me just, rather than trying to convince myself not to do something, I look for stuff that confirms that I've made the right decision. And it's a very different way of looking at it. And in Turkey that night, we were walking up, you know, they have the fake stalls with all the Gucci and all that stuff, and they had a table next with all the beautiful towels on, the Gucci towels, and there was this woman walking up with a husband and a friend, and she must have been about my age, and she had a white linen dress on. And I wish this was, because I love doing a role play on this, just to, you know, so obviously you'll see it. And she was stood there and she was going, oh yeah, and she chucked herself on the tables. I thought, that was me. You know, she was having a right good time, or so she thought. And she was just going, yeah, brilliant. And anyway, they were waiting for a taxi, and as we were, and you saw her go like that. For she went from, to, and she was like, she was swaying backwards and forwards. And I just, my heart just sank. And I thought, that would have been me every night on this holiday. And I thought, I don't want to be that woman in white feeling shy. I just don't want that in my life. Mm. You know, why? And yes, of course I miss when I'm sat with my mum and I'm on tonic water. Of course I miss the anticipation of having a drink. I miss sometimes being that raucous. I feel sometimes like I've had a limb amputated because I don't recognise myself. And I miss all those things. Sometimes I miss it desperately. But I've never missed it enough to go and have a drink. You know, to start drinking again, should I say, because if I really wanted to do it, there's nothing stopping me. I'd go and do it. And that is true freedom and true choice. But I'm not like some other people who say they'll never drink again. I have no idea. I'll never say never. I sometimes envy the people who go, oh, that's it, I've never drunk again. I envy the people who've gone back to it for 6 weeks and hated it. And now they know for sure they never want to do it again. But we're all different.
And just to pick up on something you said, Sally, and I don't know if this resonates with you, but I think certainly that mindset and how you perceive going alcohol-free, and I think a lot of people out there, they think of it like a battle, like it's a battle, like how much willpower have you got? Like, I really want that drink, but I'm not going to have that drink. And every day it's, do I drink, do I not drink? And I tried that 100 times and I always failed because it was always, there's this thing that I really want, but I'm not going to let myself have it. And then it was only when I started to think that, no, I want that life, that sober life, more than I want this pissed up, depressed, upset, falling over life. That's when the shift started to happen. As you say, it's you start to think of all the benefits, all the positive things and all the things you gain, not all the stuff that you necessarily lose.
But I think the thing is with that, though, a lot of people don't know what the sober life's like. I didn't know what the sober life was like. So they're not willing to go through that, what they perceive as being uncomfortable without the alcohol. And that's what you have to go through. And you've got to accept. I mean, I did a video nearly every day on 1 year no beer. I just made myself accountable, a bit like you did your post, Shazza. And that's how I chose to do it. And some days I was on top of mountains going, oh, this alcohol free is amazing. The next day I could be in a hedge with snot running down to my chin, hating it, you know, because that's what it was like. I remember our first holiday going down to Cornwall, and we got there in the morning and then it was a beautiful afternoon. There was two ladies drinking rosé in Padstow Harbour. Oh, I hate it. I just was so pissed off. I saw my arse. I went to bed early. I thought, this is awful, awful. I remember going to Rick Stein's lovely artisan shop and buying 4 bags of cinder toffee covered in thick chocolate. I ate a lot. And I just thought, this is awful. And by the next day, I just got over myself. I ate a shed load of ice cream all holiday. But that's where the learning is. And it's if you don't give in. And it really is a true choice. And that goes for anything, not just alcohol. It could be if you're giving up sugar. It could be any of those things. You've got to want to do it for the right reason and not because if you're using willpower for 12 months, it's going to be hell on earth.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to work. And Drew, I listened to Drew's podcast this morning. There you go, Shazza.
Wasn't he good? Wasn't he brilliant?
And I listened to that, and I'm another way I've been quite different, you know, to others, and others will be like me, is that I chose not to be secretive about it. I don't believe in stealth drinking and having a tonic water and pretending it's a gin and tonic. I was out and proud of doing my alcohol-free journey. I can't believe I've just said that. Literally makes teeth itch. And then I did that as well, which is a double whammy. And now I'm twitching all over. Sorry. But, you know, and the other thing I was talking about was just being honest in the beginning. And so I always was. And so I just told everybody. And why? And there is a bit of shame attached, I think, to start with. And that's why doing a challenge takes that shame away. But what keeps you going, even now, is the amount of people you accidentally inspired just by being yourself, just by you doing you. And I got that from a guy whose poster saw, I must have been on day 28, hating it. My first month was the Rugby Six Nations. And let me tell you now, being a big rugby fan, having to watch your first rugby match drinking peppermint bloody tea was shit. Mm-hmm. I hated it. But I remember seeing this man on the Facebook page, a really, really attractive bloke, you know, and he was probably about my age, and he was in Colorado, he was in snowy mountains, and he had this estate car with a mountain bike on the back. And he had, I remember he had Oakley sunglasses on, because they're my favourites. And he was saying, I've just done a year, he says, I can't believe I've moved state, I'm doing this, I never thought I'd be living this sort of life. And he looked so fresh. And I just thought, is it really possible? Is it really possible? And do you know what kept me going? I wanted to see. I swear, every time I wanted that drink, because of course I wanted it sometimes. Of course people do. People assume because you've not had a drink, it's easy for you. And that does me. And it's bloody hard sometimes. But I wanted to experience that. So every time that voice started, Shazza, that, you know, oh, should I have one? And what's it going to be like? I just thought, what do I want more? Do I want to see what that, do I want to know what that man feels like? Or do I want to go back to that sad woman on the, you know, creating fake happiness, being argumentative, just being an all-round arsehole and not getting my work done? Because my work never used to get done. After I'd finished a retreat, I'd get pissed and then I'd start working on Wednesday. Whereas now, that's why my business has grown so much, just because I've not been drinking.
We're just going to take a quick break from this episode of Over the Influence. We'll be back with Sal in just a few minutes to hear more about her incredible story. It's just so good to listen to, isn't it? And we wanted to say a couple of hellos and a couple of thank yous. We've had Lindsay get in touch via Instagram. She found us on Instagram, which is at alcoholfreepod, and sent us a lovely message. Lindsay is over halfway through her 90-day challenge now. She's trying 90 days alcohol-free. She's at around day 50, but she's hit the wall. That bit of your journey when you get to it and you think, I'm doing all right here, could reward myself with a glass of Prosecco, a beer, nice big large glass of rosé. Do not do that. What she did instead, she rewarded herself with an episode of Over the Influence, plugged in the Lighthouse episode and recharged her alcohol-free batteries. After that, she was good to go. She said that the episode was the boost I needed. Lindsay, just keep on doing what you're doing, one day at a time, and before you knew it, you'll be in the hundreds. Just keep at it. Claire's got in touch via email, overtheinfluence@soundrebel.co.uk. Send us an email if you'd like to get in touch with us privately. We completely understand that. Claire says that she loves binge listening while running and riding. Claire, is that riding a horse or a bike? I'm assuming it's a bike. You sound like the fitness type. She says that she loves the podcast. It's motivating and true. We try and share everything and we are very, very honest with all the stories that we share. And she says it's a great addition to her alcohol-free journey. Claire is smashing it and she's 6 months alcohol-free. Claire, halfway to a year, just keep at it. You're doing brilliantly. Someone that's just reached a year, another Instagram follower, Mrs. Fruit Tea. I love this name. She's just celebrated 365 days completely alcohol-free. Mrs. Fruity, we salute you. High five. Absolutely brilliant. In fact, she loves the podcast that much, she bought us all a coffee to celebrate. Not an actual coffee, and thank you for that. We really do appreciate it. Mrs. Fruity went to our website, which is soundrebel.co.uk/overtheinfluence. On there is a big fat blue button, you can't miss it, and it says buy us a coffee, buy us an alcohol-free beer. It's only a virtual drink, and basically if you're enjoying what you're listening, if you like what we're chatting about, it's just a case of chucking a couple of quid into the pot, basically, and to contribute to the costs of the podcast. Listening to them is completely free, but it doesn't come without cost. We've got a few production costs to cover, a bit of marketing time, that sort of thing. So if you'd like to do what some of our listeners have done and chuck a couple of quid our way, we're very, very grateful. Thank you so much. Don't forget, you can also find us on Instagram at alcoholfreepod. Twitter, it's the same name, at alcoholfreepod. And on Facebook, just search for Over the Influence. One thing that I think is really interesting that you've talked about, and Freddie, I'm sure you'll agree with me here, none of us set out to become completely alcohol-free. Sally, you set out to do 30 days. I set out to do 90. Freddie set out to do 90, is that right?
Yeah, 90 for me to start with, yeah.
But until you try it and until you give yourself that chance, as you said, Sal, you simply don't know. So when it is crap in the beginning, in those first few weeks and even the first, you know, few months, and you're thinking, oh man, this is difficult. If you just keep going, there's a reason us three are all still at it and that we've not gone back yet to what we were doing before.
You know what keeps me from going back is that I'm really, and it's taken me a long time to admit this, is that I am actually really proud of myself. That's what stops me going back. I'm proud to not drink. You know, when you feel that forming and you go, no, I don't drink.
I'm still waiting. I really want to go to the doctors or the dentist and I've never done it yet.
But you do still get it. I still do have dreadful days, and because I work a lot on my own, I do get a lot of loneliness. You know, I do suffer from loneliness and isolation. It's self-inflicted almost, because I work on my own a lot. And I found that hard to deal with depression, really, by a long shot. And quite often I do think to myself, if I was drinking, I know I perhaps wouldn't feel as lonely, because I'd be going out more. I'd be wanting to do that, a lot of fake stuff that I did. I'd orchestrate nights out and meals out just so I could have a drink, you know, that didn't look like I was just being sad at home. But Even being in lockdown, the first week or two of that, I questioned it. I thought, you know, and I thought, thank God I'm not drinking in lockdown. Thank God I'm not drinking in lockdown, because that'd have been horrific. And even when we had that beautiful weather a couple of months ago, and, you know, which was quite unexpected, and they were having a barbecue in the garden over the back, and I could hear them, and it was on a Sunday afternoon, and it really affected me. It really triggered me. I just thought, I'm sick of this alcohol-free shit. I really am. I'm sick of it. I just want to go back. I just want to have a drink. I just want to get pissed. I just want to. But the thing is, again, it passes. It always passes. And people think you're a sad person sometimes for not drinking. But believe me, I could drink, and I could drink every night if I wanted to. But I'm choosing, genuinely choosing not to do. And it's, I still love having those little awakenings where you do really miss it, you know, and you just, it passes, and you wake up in the morning, you just think, I've done it again. I'm alcohol free, you know.
And that feeling, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, Sally, we always think about, you know, obviously before lockdown, it was the, you know, the trigger moments is turning up at the party or turning up at the bar or the restaurant and thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to have to say I don't drink. But what's just as challenging is those moments on your own when you do feel lonely. And I don't know if you've had it, I've certainly had it. You think, no one would know. I could have a drink now in the house on my own and absolutely no one would know. I wouldn't have to tell Shazza, wouldn't have to tell Ben, wouldn't have to tell anyone. I could just quietly just do this for me and just get that feeling and then just carry on. But then that point is that you would know, and say everything that you've worked towards and everything that life that you dream of, you'd worry that it was, that you were putting it at risk or that it wouldn't be there anymore.
It's really, I always thought my first drink, apart from not the gin tonic gate, which was accidental, it'd be a massive big thing. It'd be, and my friend said, oh, if you're going to have a drink, let me know and we'll come round or we'll go out. And I thought it'd be an event. And you know, unfortunately, my dad passed away last year, and I just thought, and this is a really weird thing, when he died, I just thought, I wonder if I'll drink at his funeral. I thought, how awful thinking that when your dad's just died, but only people like you will understand that feeling. My other friends perhaps won't understand that because they've not been drinkers like I was. And I've been through 50ths, you know, my children's birthdays, my dad's funeral, all these events where I haven't drunk. And I thought it'd be a big thing. And it was really odd because my daughter, Nancy, she goes, Mum, I feel sad that you won't drink on the 18th next year. And I thought, I might have some champagne. I don't know. I'd never say never. And it was her birthday last week. And because it's in lockdown, she was dreading it. She was supposed to be having a big party and a driving lesson. And so I did this thing for her. We got up and did all these balloons everywhere, massive. Oh, it just looked ace. And I did her itinerary, what was happening for the day. And it, one of them was an hour and a half with the neighbours, you know, social distancing. She didn't know about it. And it was lovely. I said, come and join us for a glass of Prosecco. Well, being a hostess with the mostess, I thought, well, best provide the Prosecco. And I just had the, I always call it three trees, and I forget the name of it, but I had that because I didn't add all seed lip and tonic. And it's fine, I have it in my glass and I'm quite happy, you know. And so I'm not going to, and if I ever feel like I really want one, I'll have one. But do you miss your old self?
I miss part of it. I miss part of the social side of it. But no, not enough. And me and Freddie, every time we do an episode, we always seem to hark back to this song, This Is Me, the bearded one with big boobs. Every time, yeah, see, it's there again. And I really do like me now. And now I've stripped away all the shit, stripped away all the alcohol. This is what's left. It's a ball. I've never had as much genuine laughter. I've met some new friends. Social circles have grown. Sober socials. Had you told me that 2 years ago, I'd have laughed in your face and poured another wine and have scoffed at it. I'm not doing a sober social with these boring farts. It's been life-changing and it's been so much fun. So no, as little aspects I miss, but in the grand scheme of things, not really, no.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I'd need to do more on, really, is just getting out a bit more. And that's the danger when you work from yourself at home and you stop drinking. So you're sort of stopping everything. And then when you do have the chance to go out, you don't really want to do it. And that's really nothing to do with the drinking. It's just your mindset. And now I've said to you, Shazza, doing, and we actually had a couple of little sober sessions.
And they were brilliant.
Yeah, and it's something I'm certainly going to do more, you know, just locally, not big events or anything, just sober sessions, and invite drinkers along, but not to drink, and just to see if they can experience it. Because I know I've been in situations on business where they've been non-drinking events, and I would have hated those. I would have been itching, but I loved it because they were non, so everybody else wasn't drinking. And one night they had such a good night, and this lady, two ladies actually, just said, I can't believe I've had such a laugh without alcohol. And sadly, do you know why it is? I think it's because none of us were drinking. If we'd have all been drinking and they hadn't, they'd have hated it. But because none of us were drinking, that's the difference. And I want to start creating more of that, of an environment. But just accepting that people drink, I'll never judge anybody. People assume you judge them, don't they, when you stop drinking? They think you're looking at them like the knobheads, and you're not. Drink away, you know. And I laugh when I see myself in them. And when people talk at you with their eyes looking in different directions and telling them how much they love you and they don't even know you.
We've been there and done that, Sal. We've been there and done that 1,000 times, myself and Freddie. Sally, what's the one piece of advice you would give to somebody who thinks, I can't do it, but I want to do what they're doing?
Well, you don't want it, because if you, and that sounds really harsh, you've got to want it enough. And if you're not doing it, then you don't want it enough. You know, obviously, I'm not talking about people who have got a real, you know, I'm talking the type of people who drank like I did, and you know, so I don't mean to be glib, but you've got to want it. And when you decide you want it, there's the only person that can make it work is you. You can get inspiration from all these non-drinking communities. You can, you know, you can do your fitness, you can do everything. But the only person really wanting to make the change, and the thing that I would say to them is, don't deny yourself that opportunity to experience what it's like, because you're going to spend the rest of your life wondering, what if? I wonder what it would be like. I wonder. You don't have to wonder. It doesn't cost anything. It's going to save you money. You know, if you're truly happy drinking, then fill your boots, crack on. But if you were like I was, have a word with yourself and just think, come on, because you can do it. You absolutely can.
And do you, I guess a question for both of you, Sally and Shazza, do you, it sounds a bit weird, but do you ever get scared sometimes because you see all the success that you've got now and all the amazing things you've both achieved since you've been alcohol free? And do you ever get scared and think, if life had worked out differently and I'd got to, you know, 7 days or 30 days and I'd said, you know what, I'm just going to go back to the old me, then you wouldn't have all of this right now. And do you ever just think like, shit, you were at that crossroads and you took that road, but you could have easily taken the other road, then you wouldn't have this now. Do you ever think about that at all? Or
never. No, absolutely not, because I didn't take that road. So all I'm doing is reliving a crap movie that doesn't even exist. So no, I don't. I really don't believe in always better to regret the things you do than the things you don't.
Absolutely.
So I would rather give up alcohol and bloody hate it and think, sod that, I'm not doing that again. But at least I know I've tried. So I'm not going to be sat there thinking, oh, I wish I wasn't drinking because I tried it and it was crap. Didn't like it. But I did like it, surprisingly. Not all the time. And even now, sometimes I don't like it. But it's not enough to go back for all the huge benefits that I've had. Whenever I see somebody going on about alcohol free, I think, oh, that's, I'm in that little group.
Yeah.
I can't believe I don't drink.
I'm the same as you, Sal. I sometimes look at myself and I go, I can't believe I'm still doing this. I can't believe I made that decision. I can't believe the way my life is going now, because some brilliant things have happened. Some shit has happened, don't get me wrong, in the last 12 months. But in the main, everything is so much better. My only regret, Freddie, in answer to your question, is at the age of 46, why I left it so late to give myself that chance. In many ways, you know, Freddie, I envy you. You're far, far, far younger than I am.
I thought you were both about my age.
Oh, well, I'll take that. Thanks.
I need to interrupt, because you need to stop thinking like that, because Freddie's Freddie and you're you, and you're 46 and you've done it. So no amount of thinking, you wish you'd done it. I never quite get that sentence, I wish I'd started early. Well, you haven't, and you can't change it. So it's just a complete, you know, it's be proud of yourself. I know you are, but I don't even want you taking a little bit of that away by saying you wish you'd started sooner.
I shall consider myself bollocked, and I shan't mention it ever again.
But it's a tremendous, tremendous achievement, you know, and we all don't know what's going to happen. We could have this podcast in 6 months' time and two of us could be pissheads again. So I'm not putting any judgment on anything. I'm not putting any hope or expectations. And that's the thing, when you have expectations, if they're not met, that's when the shit starts to happen.
Sally, it's been brilliant, first of all, hearing your story and hearing about your community. And I'm really proud to say that I've done one of your retreats. It was brilliant. I thought it was going to be one of the worst things I'd ever done. And in many ways it was, but it was also brilliant. I loved every single minute. It was so inspiring, so fantastic. What a great community you inspire. Just tell us where we can find some more information about what you do, Sal.
Well, the easiest place is the website, thesallywilkinson.com. Now, I know it makes me sound like a bit of a burk, the Sally Wilkinson, but Sally Wilkinson was just a woman sat on a rock in Australia doing a journal, so I had to shove the in front of it. So you can, that's all my Instagram's the Sally Wilkinson, and I do a lot of my stories on there, which can be quite entertaining. And then the Facebook is Get Over Yourself, and that's where all the free fitness is. So, yeah, but you can find all the social links on the website, thesallywilkinson.com. And don't be shocked, because I had a few professional pictures done on there.
I tell you what, you scrub up quite nicely, don't you, Sally?
And the lady said, she goes, well, we'll get them back, so we've got to touch them all up now. I said, what for? She goes, because we always do. I said, well, I don't want you doing mine. And she could not believe it. She goes, but we do, we'll just take a few wrinkles out and a bit of your pestering chopper, I call it. I said, I don't want that. This is me.
See, you've said it again. That song's there again. Whoa, go on, Freddie.
So it is, when you click on the website and I'm there with my chin shot, that really is me. They're all my wrinkles.
All your own chins as well.
And then I do a video just so you can see the real me without the highlighting.
Thanks, Sal. You're a star.
So thank you so much to Sally for that amazing episode. And I can't believe that the next episode that is coming up is actually episode 10. Who would have thought it? We have got to double figures and we are at 10 episodes. Shazza, how can people find out more about us?
Fantastic, 10 episodes. I'm so excited about this. You can find us on Instagram at AlcoholFreePod. We're also on Twitter, the same name, at AlcoholFreePod again. Or on Facebook, just search for Over the Influence. If you want to find us online, go to soundrebel.co.uk/overtheinfluence. And if you want to contact us privately, we do have an email address, overtheinfluence@soundrebel.co.uk.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Oh, hi, my name's Jeanette and I'm now alcohol-free for around 150 days, which is a miracle, to say the least. I have been trying to go alcohol-free for about a decade, on and off, doing a month here, a week here, 2 months here, you know the score. But now I'm 150 days in and absolutely loving it. Life is so much better. Being part of the OTI community has helped me vastly. It's fun. It looks at what you're gaining, not what you're missing out, which was a mistake I made before. I always thought I was missing out on life when I wasn't drinking. Oh my God, how wrong was I? Life is great without a drink. Just try it.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.